You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Post-game time, baby. Welcome into the Pride of Detroit post-game show going up on Pride of Detroit PODcast for you in Tuesday morning. The full PODcast will be coming on Tuesday evening. We'll record it live then, so that means we'll hit your feeds on Wednesday if you're doing the math on podcasts. We're coming in here after another Lions loss in, once again, where the rails were on. Everything was on the rails until things were not on the rails. And that's the story of the game. To bring that in, I'm Chris Perfett, your adequate host and editor or whatever of the Pride of Detroit PODcast. Jeremy Reisman, fearless leader at Detroit Online. Ryan Matthews, the rock god at Ryan underscore POD, senior editor. And we are here now live to suss this one out from the gut. Instant reactions. And I don't think they're going to be good, but we'll go to Jeremy for the tape.
I mean, honestly, this felt like a complete replay of week one to me. You know, the Lions get out to a promising start. The offense looks good. The offense looks promising. Jared Goff, the one big difference was Jared Goff was fantastic in the first half. Really, really, really good. Making some plays downfield, making some plays with his feet. I think the first half went exactly how the Lions wanted to. Now, obviously, the defense wasn't, you know, where it needs to be eventually, but they know where this defense is. They know that they can't really do anything on defense. So their plan was to play deep, keep everything in front of you and make the Packers really work for every drive. So you saw the Packers, you know, put out these 9, 10, 11 play drives and it ate up clock so that the Packers wouldn't score a lot of points. And so everything's going fine. Everything's going as the Lions planned. And then like last week with the pick six, you don't convert on that fourth and one and suddenly everything falls apart because this offense needs to play a perfect game to win these ball games. And when they make one mistake like that, it's over. It's just over because the defense isn't stopping anybody. They're not forcing turnovers. They got a couple sacks tonight and they maybe, you know, evened out towards the end of this game. But in general, this offense needs to play a perfect game and it didn't. And it only got worse after the fourth and one conversion. But it really felt that fourth and one failed conversion was like, well, you gave them your best shot. We know how the rest of this is going to play out, and it did. And the only difference from then on, from last week, is that we didn't have our, you know, our miraculous comeback to make it look like a closer game than it actually was. So, you know,
yeah, just kind of the same old story. The fun was front loaded this time around.
Yep.
Ryan, your thoughts?
Aaron Rodgers is really good at football, man. He's really good.
I think we all kind of knew that this was going to be the game where everything's lined up for Aaron Rodgers to get right on it.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, for as good as Aaron Rodgers was, Aaron Jones was even better. But, man, like, there was a stat that they put up on a graphic. Rodgers on second and third down tonight was 16 of 16 for 208 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, I think he ended up having one incompletion later in the game, but yeah.
Yeah,
he took that shot downfield.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
I mean, and that was just a, let's see if I can put this game on ice in the most of, you know, decisive way possible. But yeah, I echo a lot of the same sentiments as Jeremy when it comes to the Lions. But I mean, I just want to remind everybody that Aaron Rodgers is really good.
Yeah, and just as you say, like, this defense isn't there to stop something like Aaron Rodgers. It's even less there when Melifonwu comes out of the game. And suddenly Aaron Rodgers knows he gets to throw on two undrafted free agent rookie corners. But I don't think the problem with the defense is even in the corners right now, even though I don't think they played particularly well. But
seeing fan reactions seems to be that everyone's done with the linebackers. And I don't know that putting in Barnes solves those problems. I know people want to go on to the brand new thing, especially when you're watching Collins and Alex Anzalone out there. By the way, Anzalone, like, jawing half this game with Aaron Rodgers. Very, very odd interaction there. Very interesting that he thinks he can jaw with Aaron Rodgers. But, like, both those guys, especially Anzalone, people are very in the doghouse on him. I think people want to break... They want to break the new tape on Barnes, especially given all the hype, but I don't think throwing Barnes out there is going to do anything remotely for you right now. Maybe. It might. It might. He might come out and be a firecracker right out of the gate. But again, it's the problem is, like, your existing veteran starters aren't good and all you have are rookies behind them.
Real quick before Jeremy gets to his point, but, like, this isn't a team that's going to give up on Alex Anzalone. This guy was named a captain. Like,
yeah.
I don't think they're going to cut bait and they're going to switch over to a rookie before the rookie's ready. So, I don't know. Your frustrations with the linebackers, Jeremy?
Look, I think the first thing we have to point out is that they were put in a really hard situation tonight. You know, with the lines playing too deep almost the entire game, that meant the front seven, front six at times when they're in nickel and have, you know, a third corner out there, they have to stop the run. And I don't think the defensive line played particularly well. Nick Williams had a pretty good game, but everyone else, I mean, I'm not seeing any push from that defensive line in the run game. Couple sacks again, but those are coming from the edges. I mean, at the end of the day, you need these linebackers to make some plays. You need them to get off blocks. You need them to not miss tackles. You need them to not get fooled in coverage. And listen, like, Alex Anzalone's, the touchdown he gave up to Robert Tonyan was tough. Like, he was in pretty darn good coverage there. Maybe he gets his arms up a little bit earlier, but perfect pass. Hard to blame him for that. Jamie Collins, on the other hand, the touchdown he gave up, just completely beat. And so, I mean, they're going to unwrap Derek Barnes eventually. They will. It might not be until the bye week. It might be next week. I don't know. So I guess I'm trying to preach patience here, because like Ryan said, like, they like these guys, and you know, and they've also talked the talk with rookies, right? They say, if you're a good player, if you're a guy that makes plays, we got to find a way to get you on the field. They're going to get Derek Barnes on the field, and I think it's probably going to happen pretty soon. And that should make everyone happy, regardless of whether he's an instant improvement over these guys. He might not be. He's a rookie. But who cares? He's going to learn, and he's going to get snaps, and he's going to get better. So I think it's going to happen sooner and later, and I think they should move to it sooner or later. The question is, which one do you take off the field? Because neither of them are cutting it for you right now. Do you take off Jamie Collins, a guy who you are financially tied to for definitely the season? He's not a guy you can trade at the deadline. He might not even be a guy you can trade or cut next year. He's going to be a lot of dead money on the Lions salary cap. So that's kind of a frustrating situation there, because he's not playing particularly well. And Alex Anzalone is a captain. He's got the green dot in his helmet. Do you want to give those responsibilities to Derek Barnes right away? I don't know. It's a tough call.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. There's no real answer for it. I know people are impatient, but again, as you say, same story as last week. You knew what the score was going into this. So this was just going to be a bad defense. Like, and there's just too many holes to plug. Like, I really praise Melifonwu, because he at the very least gave you at least a few plays. Like, I thought he played all right up until he got hurt on the Devontae Adams play, where he just say it's a thigh injury, Jeremy.
Yeah, I believe that's what
very,
it was.
Very odd designation for that, but we'll have to keep an eye on that. But I mean, at the same time too, I think we learned here, and it's an early season. It can change around, but I think if you're one of the people holding out hope that Jared Goff could be your quarterback to hold on to this team for a while, it's not going to happen. I'm not saying to bench him, but listen, like, he's going to give you the checkdowns. He's going to give you the dump offs. It's going to be fine. But then any kind of pressure out there is just going to keep giving these situations.
Well, listen, like, he's put in the situations that Stafford has been put in for years. Like, maybe he has a little bit of a running game.
I think he's got a better offensive line. Like, that offensive line was doing. That's the one silver lining. That offensive line
way worse receivers, way worse receivers, and a defense that's just as bad, right? Like, he has to play perfect ball. I thought, you know, you can wring your hands over, you know, fumbling a wet ball in the rain and throwing a late interception when the game was probably already over. I think this was a pretty good game for Jared Goff. I got a lot of hate for saying how bad his first game was. I thought this was a pretty darn good game for him. Even the fourth down conversion, like, yes, Amon-Ra was open, but that's not where his read was. His read was to the first guy. He threw a pretty good pass to, what was it, Khalif, I think?
It was Quintus Cephas.
I thought his connection to, this was one thing I think he improved on this game. He was finding his receivers more. I think when we're going to look at the final snaps, it's not just overwhelmingly to Swift, Williams, and Hockenson. I think it was a little more balanced. It was getting out to Raymond. It was getting out to Cephas. But at the same time, like, you just can't, if you know your defense is going to do that, like, you just can't put them in bad situations sometimes. Like, it sucks. And just, but, and at the end of the day too, you know, you just can't get it down the field like Stafford could. I mean, no
Jared
one can,
Goff, but. Jared Goff played as close to a perfect game as you could have in the first 13 of 16, 137 some odd yards.
Half, sorry, you cut out there.
Yeah,
in the first half, a couple of touchdowns. I mean, Jared Goff, the throw that he made to Hockenson was maybe the most impressive throw I've ever seen Jared Goff make. And I haven't seen a ton of Jared Goff, but I mean, that was a throw that an NFL quarterback makes. And I mean, the only thing that outdid the catch was the throw. Like, the touch, the placement, it was perfect. Goff was firing on all cylinders, but this goes to Jeremy's point. It's 17-14 at halftime. Jared Goff is playing perfect football.
Like, and you're only up three.
And you're only up 3 points. The opportunity to have penalties happen and penalties to compound. And Matt Nelson, I mean, forget what anybody has to say. Like, to Chris's point, I think the offensive line is a silver lining for the most part in this game. And forget which side of the you know, civil war you want to claim for Penei Sewell playing on the right or the left side. Taylor Decker coming back makes this team, like, way better when it comes to their offense, because it's addition by subtraction, because Matt Nelson, bless his soul, that guy's still learning how to play offensive line. Like, he still looks like a defender on a lot of plays.
I think I have now moved to team play Decker on the right side.
Maybe. Well, I mean, maybe.
I'm being irrational right now, but at the same time, like, that offensive line, that's what you take away from it. And the fact that the Lions had, like, they had a rushing game early and they got away with it, and somehow Jared Goff ends up your leading receiver in this game.
Rusher
in this game, which I think that's going to happen multiple times, but, like, I thought they got work done on the ground. I thought they got work done on the ground early.
I mean, listen, the offense was fine for the first three quarters. I would say I would into the third quarter, because that drive in the third quarter, like, Goff,
they got
was
away
still
from
playing,
the ground game.
Goff,
that's when it started.
Still
that,
playing
yeah.
that perfect game until that fourth down play. And then that's when everything spiraled out of control. That's the very next play after the fourth down play is dropping the snap. And and then suddenly you're down 17 because your defense can't play a thing and you're forced to throw the ball, which means pass protection's gotten a whole lot more difficult. Play calling is a lot more difficult because you can't run the ball anymore. You know, as a wide receiver, it becomes more difficult because they're dropping into coverage. They know you're throwing the ball. And this team is just not going to win that way. They're not going to have miraculous comebacks like they did last week, every week, because I think this is what's going to happen more often. If they fall behind three possessions in the fourth quarter, they're not a team that can come back. They just aren't. And I know they did once, but that relied on a lot of luck. That relied on a third down conversion that happened, and then the fumble, and obviously an onside kick. That's not going to happen. This team, if they fall behind three scores, they are going to lose by three scores more often than not.
I do want to temper my own irrationality, because my brain did process too. Like, reminder that this Packers team they faced did not have Za'Darius Smith, and it has not been a great pass rushing defense from the
Packers. Not a good defense at all.
And
you might look at the Lions only scoring 17 points and say it's a big failure, and maybe there's a little bit of truth to that, but, like, they punted, what, one time until, like, way late in the game, and I thought them punting down 17 with 8 minutes left was...
It was an insane Jack Fox punt that comes after, like, a bunch of irrational penalties that somehow moves you from almost half the half point of the field all the way. Like, what did he punt from? It was like the 35 or something. So
I'm not here to talk about punts.
I'm here to talk about punts. I'm here to talk about this whole
thing. Leave that to Pat McAfee screaming into his mic every time a punt happens.
But the one thing about the Packers defense, and we talked about this with Tex Western on First Bite, Eric Stokes is going to be a dude. Like, that guy's good. Like, he made some plays in pass coverage, and I know that the Lions picked on Kevin King early.
Yeah, you're, now, that's
who was covering Quintez Cephas on that 46-yard reception that they had on the first drive.
And I think he tried to cover Khalif Raymond later, or was it Trinity Benson? But either way, like, yeah, you're just not going to get to cover Kevin King. You're not going to have Kevin King in coverage every game, unfortunately.
And can we talk about the fourth down play? Because I feel like that's going to be, I mean,
yeah,
that undoubtedly, undoubtedly that was the turning point of the game.
So from what I understand about that fourth down play, like, it seemed like the play, whatever the call was, it came in late.
Yeah.
So that was already working against them before we started to dissect the play itself. That the call comes in late, so you're just not ready for it.
You're hustling to the line. You'd already used one of your timeouts on that drive, so you really didn't want to use your second timeout already trailing in a game in which, you know, if you were able to keep it close, you're going to need those timeouts. So yeah, they rush on the field. But before we even get to that, you guys cool with him going for it? Because I was absolutely cool with him.
Yes, I just 100%. Think it was the wrong play. I think you just run the ball there, especially with how well you've been running the ball in the Packers. But again, the play came in late, whatever it was, and maybe it could have developed a little bit better if they had more time to run it. I just think it was the right decision. It was just kind of the wrong play call or the wrong execution. And again, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it gets home to, was it Cephas who dropped the pat, who
went off his fingertips. Yeah.
Like, if a Cephas converts it, it's brilliant. There was a lot stacked against it, but I love the decision. I love how aggressive this coaching staff has been on offense.
Yeah. I think back to the play, like when Lewis Riddick was breaking it down and he was talking about how, you know, the read probably should have been to the opposite side of the formation because, like, he had the one-on-one with Cephas to the outside, but he had Adrian Amos on Amon-Ra St. Brown, who made a great play. He was open. Swift was open on an underneath route on a little hook that was just past the stick. So I think that with the hurry to get into the play, it was the rush. I'm going to make my first read to my guy who's on the one-on-one on the outside.
That's who Goff is. So. He's going to make his first read or he's going to check down.
He also didn't have a ton of time on that play. Like, the pass rush was coming. So
The pass rush was coming. The play came in late. Everything worked against it there. It was still the right decision. It was just the wrong play in my book.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel like the play coming late was kind of a common issue in this game. I think they had two delay games in this game. And, you know, I was watching the ManningCast. They were having an interesting conversation about Goff having, you know, the arm sleeve playbook thing and saying, like, he's just getting plays read to him and then he's thinking about them. So it slows down that process. I don't know if there's much to that or not, but I guess the other coaching kind of decision that got brought up as a point of debate was the end of the first half and the Lions maybe being a little too lackadaisical with the clock there and having to settle for a field goal there. I'm curious as to what your guys' thoughts on that was.
I didn't hate it. And I didn't hate it for this reason. I remember they were just past midfield and they ran the ball on first down and it was like a 2-yard run by Swift. And I looked at the clock and it was just under a minute. And I thought, man, why that play? And then I thought, because Aaron Rodgers, if he has 20 seconds, it's a problem.
Yep.
So
that's where I'm going. Yeah.
I like the idea of playing it a little conservative at that point, trying to get in, you know, decent field position for your kicker to make a play and for you to go. If you tell any Lions fan, you tell anybody who's about to watch this game that the Lions are leading at halftime, they would be thrilled. They would be over the moon. They would be flabbergasted that the Packers would be down 3 in a quote unquote get back game for them. I mean, what did you think of the play calling there, Jeremy? Would you have been a little bit more aggressive? Because they did take a shot towards the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought after that run, maybe it was time to use a timeout. Because really the only reason that drive got saved is they hit that big play to Hockenson, I think, right after that play. Went for 20 yards or something like that. Mm-hmm. Really got them into a much better position. But even then, like, you're at about the 25 with, 24 seconds left? Seems like you could have had a little bit more, you know, a better situation. The Lions, you know, they ended up running a couple plays and, you know, going to fourth down anyways. But and maybe I'm just pulling a lot of this stuff from the ManningCast because he was talking about it too. And the Lions felt squeezed at the end, like they were pressured, kind of like that fourth down play. Like they didn't have a lot of time. They had a lot of yards to go. They could have afforded themselves a little bit more time if they weren't so rushed. But in the end, like, I'm with you. Like, you don't want to give that ball back to Pack. As soon as that possession started, I'm like, all right, the one thing the Lions can't do is allow the Packers to lead at the half. And they didn't. Like, they ran a drive. They were successful in their drive. They ran a lot of clock to make sure that Rodgers wasn't even going to have a freaking Hail Mary, because we know how those go at the end of the half. And they scored. So I don't have a huge issue with it. I just think they could have maybe afforded themselves a little bit more time.
Can I praise one more thing about this team? And it's a very small thing. It's a one bit of praise I want to give to the defense. When you play the Packers, there's a lot of little tricks that they like to do. And they got bit on one, which is the Aaron Rodgers special of, oh, you're making a substitution. Let me just fuck everything up and make you and like get a penalty on you, which I get why it's savvy, but I think, you know, I agree with you. I think at some point, like, if you're going to allow for either allow for substitutions or don't allow for substitutions, figure out what the fuck this is. Like, this is it's ridiculous that he gets to like abuse a playbook that, I mean, a rule book that has that gap in it. But there were several times where he was trying to hard count this defense and they didn't bite. So I want to at least give them that like they didn't blink on that. That's something I worry about, though, going back to the Barnes situation. Like, as you take some of these veterans and captains out to play the younger guys, you're not going to have that same kind of discipline after a while. Like, maybe that's something for the future. Again, it's a small thing for me to worry about, especially when people have, and I'm seeing our Twitch chat right now, people are done with Collins and they're done with Anzalone. And the question for a lot of them is just which one of them does Barnes replace? But I still think you need some veteran leadership on there, especially, again, given that we know this season is not a season where you're just going to get a lot of these games. It's not how the roster has been set up. It's not how the defense is going to be set up. And you're going to have to draft good defensive talent next year.
Should we end this thing with some Packers home cooking talk? You can't have a Packers game without some really fucking stupid calls.
I don't want
it. It wouldn't have changed the outcome. I think we can all agree.
I would prefer not to.
but come on. Like, first of all, you call an intentional grounding on a pass that was essentially deflected by a defender.
Well, that was just bad I don't think that was Packers home cooking. That was just bad officiating.
Right, but I mean, listen, let's play to the crowd a little bit, all right? We need something to release.
Fighting against that, they were calling plenty of holding calls against the Packers.
Plenty? Like two? Situation.
Like two. Yeah, that's still two more than zero.
Yeah, it seems like plenty in a Packers game, but Jeremy, as bad as the intentional grounding call was, the pass interference on Amani Oruwariye, and I know you're the biggest Amani Oruwariye hater.
Okay,
that was really ticky tack.
That was a bad call.
Listen, whatever happened to the stipulation that it's an uncatchable pass has been completely like erased from the play. Right, like I've never seen any ref being like, throw the flag and then be like, you know what, that was uncatchable and pick it up. It's never happened in the past 15 years. For some reason, that stipulation apparently just no longer exists, because that ball was 5 yards behind the receiver.
Refs,
and I never got a replay of it, so I don't know how bad the infraction was.
NFL knew what it was doing this last year, where they eventually like let you challenge those PI calls for and then never overturned any of them, and then just threw it out completely. And now you get a ticky-tack call like that and you can't challenge it. But they knew what they were doing, because refs don't want to be shown up. When they throw a flag like that, they want to be able to say that was PI, even though it probably
Well, and this is why I hate spot foul PI too. It's like,
yes,
you gave them a touchdown. You gave them a touchdown on a shoddy call. When the Lions had essentially forced a field goal. It's a 4-point swing on a bad call. If you make that like a 15-yard penalty, or in that case, at least be half the distance to the goal, suddenly they'd at least have to, you know, get in from the 5 instead of the 1. And I hate it. Before we go, bit of news broke that is not particularly good. Dan Campbell says Melifonwu's injury is, quote, a bad one. And it looks like he'll be out for a bit. So now the Lions are in hell, man. At corner. They lose their number one and number three receiver already in the first 2 weeks of the season. Looks like for a long time for both. So that means you're starting Amani Oruwariye and question mark? I mean, you got to imagine
Bobby Price.
Bobby Price.
The Price is right.
They I mean, maybe Maybe you just have Quentin Dunbar on speed dial all freaking year.
God. Oh, this is going to suck.